You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
For those of you who may not know me, my name is Chris Jackson, and I'm one of the associate pastors here. And usually I have Sean saying,
"Good morning, Chris Jackson."
There you go. Thank you so much. And it is a good morning to be with you. I haven't been up here for a little while, and I have missed being with you guys. We are in the middle of a series that we are calling Road Trip, and the focus of this series is about the journey of strengthening and growing our faith in Christ and in God and our relationship with Him. And in honor of the idea and image of road trip, I have wore one of my favorite driving shirts, so that's why I'm dressed the way that I am today. Also, we have been getting a lot of examples from Pastor Ashton's recent honeymoon, which was a journey. It seemed to be based upon stopping at certain food establishments and eating certain things, which they called a foodie moon. He told us a number of stories that he had, and that trip took them up to Maine and then up to Toronto, Canada, and they told us about having their car towed and everything. And one of the things I want you to know is that not all road trips really need to be long journeys into foreign countries where you get your car towed because you think the local laws don't apply to Americans, right? They can actually be short journeys, local. And one that I want to share with you today is one that I had with a friend of mine where we were just traveling to Wright State University from my hometown in Miamisburg. And I was traveling with this good friend of mine. His name is Scott Collins. And we were going to Wright State to drop off some paperwork at the university. Now, Scott was driving, and Scott drove a station wagon. It was a 1976 Chevy Malibu Classic. And I was riding along with him in the passenger seat just to support him and just hang out with him while he had to do this errand. And while we were coming up from Miamisburg, we got on I-675 and we're driving up. And all of a sudden, I thought I started to smell something burning. I started to mention it to Scott. I said, "Do you smell something burning?" And Scott didn't really seem concerned about it. He kind of brushed it off and said, "Oh, that's just oil burning from the car." Now, there's really something you should know about my friend Scott. He is not exactly mechanically inclined. And I knew the smell of burning oil from my own vehicles, so I knew this smell was not burning oil. So I start to kind of focus in a little bit more. I'm like, what is this smell that I am smelling? I'm not familiar with this burning smell, but I'm sure that something is burning. And as we traveled down the road, I moved my focus from kind of out front of the car down to my feet where I saw a flickering flame right in the carpet at my feet. I immediately told Scott, "Hey, your car is on fire." And Scott doesn't handle crisis very well, and he kind of went into a trance, and the shock of it, he just kind of locked on, and he wouldn't respond to anything I was telling him. I was like, "Pull over, pull over," and he's just driving straight, and he's kind of locked on, and he's trying to process. So while he's in his trance, I look down at the fire that was at my feet, and I realize as I start to stomp on it that the floor of the car is kind of giving way, right? And so I'm like, this is not right. So I actually found a piece of the carpet that I could grab hold on, and I pulled it back, and the floor had completely rusted away. And what was exposed was the catalytic converter. So that carpet was sitting right on top of the exhaust system, which is hot from the engine, right? So I'm pulling it back and everything, but Scott is, he's basically still in his trance. And I start yelling, "Pull over," since he doesn't respond. I grab the steering wheel, and I start to steer us over to the side of the road. Well, this kind of broke him out of his stance, of his trance, and he started to realize, okay, I got to get it together. He pulls it off to the side of the road. We get out of the car. We pull the carpet back, making sure that none of it is on the exhaust system anymore. And we get back in the car, and we proceed to Wright State. However, there was this one little detail I have not mentioned yet. See, when I had gotten to the passenger side of the car, Scott had a couple empty two-liter bottles that he had in the floor of the car. So when I had pulled the carpet back, one of those bottles flipped around and momentarily touched the catalytic converter and melted a little bit on it. But we didn't know that. So as we got back onto the highway and started going back to Wright State, that little bit of plastic started to melt and just filled the car with noxious fumes that were choking us. And so by this time, we were nearly at Wright State. And so instead of stopping, we hang our heads out the window of the car and we continue to get to Wright State and we park the car. So we get to Wright State and we check the car out again and we realize it's just this plastic. There's really no fire. The carpet is completely pulled back. We secured it to make sure it wouldn't flop back onto the car. And we felt like it was really okay to go in and drop the paperwork off and come back out to the car. Well, we did leave the windows down so that the car would air out because it was poisonous fumes that the thing was generating. Well, when we returned to the car, something didn't look right. And as we got closer, we saw that the insides were covered with a white powder. No one was around the car, but we quickly realized that some good Samaritan had emptied a fire extinguisher inside the car to put out the smoking plastic on the converter. This is exactly what we did. We just started laughing. I mean, what else can you do in this calamitous situation? So we start laughing, and of course, we got to go home, right? So we get inside the car with the seats covered with the powder, and as Scott started the car, plumes of white powder jump pouring out of the cooling vents, and they just fill our mouths, which are open from the laughter that we're doing. This, of course, brought even more laughter, as well as coughing and desperate gasps for air, because I'm going to tell you, that stuff is nasty. You never want it in your mouth, right? So we finally headed back home, and of course, the plastic hadn't fully melted off, so it started kicking off fumes again and everything. So we had to hang our heads out the window on the way back home. We get back home. And the thing is this road trip was one that we will never forget, right? This is ever etched in our memory. However, just to make sure that we didn't forget, for the next 6 months, every time Scott started that car, we were reminded with puffs of white smoke blowing in our face, right? Now, I share this story with you because there's kind of one point that I really want you to get out of it. If you're going to go on a journey of any kind, and you're going to experience things, whether or not they're bad things or good things, it is really awesome to have a companion with you that you can share those experiences with. And what I want you to know is that Jesus absolutely wants us to have a close companion on our life's journey as well. And he has provided us one in the Holy Spirit. Today is the anniversary of the day that the Lord gave the Holy Spirit into the world for us to be able to have. And this day is called Pentecost. It stands, the term comes from the 50 days after the Passover, or, you know, for us, as we celebrated the Easter event. It is in line with one of the three festivals that God told the children of Israel to always remember. And that festival is called the Feast of Shavuot, or also it's known as the Feast of Weeks because of the specified number of weeks after Passover in which you're supposed to remember it. And after Jesus' death, the apostles and the disciples all got together and they were praying per the direction of Jesus. And he said, I want you to look for the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to give to you. And he indeed did that on this day. So I want you to join with me today because Pentecost is the day that God gave us a special gift, and that special gift is the Holy Spirit. And I think that we should give him praise for that right now. So on the count of three, I want you to say, praise God for giving us the Holy Spirit and do it with all your heart, all right? Ready? One, two, three. Praise God for giving us the Holy Spirit, right? Amen.
Amen.
And you can say right on too.
Right on.
Right on, all right. So one of the things that we're going to do today is we're going to look at this gift of the Holy Spirit and try to understand a little bit about what we can expect to get from this wonderful gift that God has given us. And the first place we're going to start is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And God promised that he was going to send his Spirit upon all people. And when the Spirit was given, the disciples referred back to this, and so we also see it in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And the passage goes like this: "Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people." This is the Lord talking through the prophet Joel. "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And in those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike." Now, if you're reading this verse and you're seeing it today in the way we read things in modern times, and you see that it kind of says all people, men and women, and then it goes old men and young men, I want you to know that when you go into the Hebrew and you start to look at these words, it really doesn't say old men. It says the older. And it says the younger, right? So I really believe wholeheartedly that this passage is about God giving his Spirit to all of us, men and women equally, and that the Spirit is going to empower us and speak to us and reveal things to us. And that's what is being talked about here, that the older will dream dreams and the younger will see visions. And even God is saying, like, even on servants, meaning there isn't a class of people that I'm going to pour my Spirit out and withhold it from another class. It's everybody is able to access this because I want everybody to have the Holy Spirit in their life. So then we go to Luke chapter 11, 13, and Jesus here is speaking. He says, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" First of all, we see that Jesus is contrasting that we who have been tainted with sin in our lives still try to give good gifts to people that we care about and love. How much is the Holy God, the Father of us, who is good through and through, wants to give us a good gift? And here, Jesus is saying he wants to give us his very Spirit in the form of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also informs us that this is something that we need to ask for, that he's not going to force his Spirit upon us, but we need to ask that we are filled with the Spirit of God, and that the things that the Holy Spirit brings is something that we want to welcome. Because I will tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He will disrupt your life. And you have to want him to disrupt your life. But he's going to disrupt your life for a purpose. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. So today we're going to look at a number of different things that the Holy Spirit does provide for us. And the first is the Holy Spirit is our provider for truth. Okay? He provides us truth. In John 14, 17, we see he is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. How much truth does he give us and lead us into? All truth, right? We have talked in past weeks about how truth, in the way that God designed us, is there's a cognitive truth that we need to learn and incorporate into our mind, and there's an experiential truth that we need to incorporate into our heart. And the Holy Spirit is the source of all truth, proper thinking, because God is the source of how to measure all things for truth. And the Holy Spirit, an extension of him into our lives, helps lead us into all truth. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, "But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ."
See, here, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us things so that we can continue to walk in our fellowship with Christ. He's going to strengthen us, and we need to learn to trust him, learn how to listen to his voice. And here's another thing. It is an intimate expression in which we encounter him. He doesn't live outside of us where we have to go chase him down or run to a hilltop to find out what he's got to say. He lives with inside of us. What kind of gift has God has given us that God has somehow taken part of himself through the Holy Spirit and planted it within us when we ask for it so that we can have access to the truth, to have access to what he wants to lead us in and what God thinks and what he feels. This is a tremendously wonderful gift because it is an expression of how God wants to be intimate with us. And the Holy Spirit is an enabler for this. Now, the Holy Spirit is our source for power. And this is very important to recognize that Jesus didn't do what he did on the cross just to leave us impotent and weak and just forgive us so that we didn't have to go to hell. He extended a power to us so that we could live abundantly and live strongly in the relationship that we have with him. And the Holy Spirit is a source for power for these things. So when we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, we live in the ends of the earth, right? And the Holy Spirit is given to us so that our witness can be something that is alive and true. It is not something that is weak. It's something that gets joined in with the truth, and the Holy Spirit anoints that witness so that people can see there's something real about what we have, and that we are able to live in the teachings and the instructions that we get from God, and that the Holy Spirit is showing us how to do that and enabling us to do that. So our witness becomes powerful as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Next, we see that the Holy Spirit is our source for power to purify our hearts. Romans chapter 8, verse 4, "He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit." This is Paul writing, and he tells us that there is a sinful nature which is at odds with the Spirit of God. And these two things can't reside or work at the same time. You're either leaning on one or you're leaning on the other. And here he says that you no longer follow the nature. So he's expecting us to get to a point where we allow that sinful nature to be cleansed out so that our hearts become aligned with the Spirit and thus become purified in the likeness of God's heart. And what this does is it enables us to stop resisting God's will in our life. It doesn't make us perfect in performance. It makes the heart want to follow God and be in agreement with him. Because ultimately, the Holy Spirit is trying to prep us and lead us to become the bride of Christ. And God doesn't want to marry someone who's going to fight with him all the time for all eternity, right? So, I mean, we don't even want to do it for a few years around here. So he's not going to do that. So this is the importance to realize why we are here now preparing for that time. The Holy Spirit is part of that preparation, and he is helping us to align our hearts in unison, in oneness with God. And we go on to two verses later in the same chapter, verse 6. It says, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." See, the sinful nature, as you describe it and you observe it at its work, it wants to focus on satisfying self. So everything you do comes focused back on yourself, and even can ultimately lead you to selfishness and other things. But it's not working and acting like God's nature. And so this idea of folding back in on yourself and trying to please yourself all the time is one thing that leads to death, is what the scriptures tell us. But here, if we are focused on the Spirit, his influence causes us to focus on things that are life and peace. See, the Spirit's mind is set outwardly, and it's set on doing things that are good and holy and right. And so as we align ourselves with the Spirit and let Him motivate our mind and influence it, it leads us to life and peace. And this word peace is one that is a word not just it resolves conflict or the absence of conflict, but it also means like wholeness and restoration. And this is what the Spirit is trying to do in our lives. He's trying to restore us, bring us life, and restore us and make us whole. The Holy Spirit is our source for the power of love. So once the Lord starts to get our rebellion out of our hearts and He aligns our hearts with His, now we can open it up and we can start extending love to places where it's hard for us to love. See, when we have somebody hurting us or we have an enemy, it is hard for us to love. But when you look at God, He still loves all of us, even though we have broken His heart and we have hurt Him. And He extended to us a salvation and an opportunity to go and have relationship with Him again. And He wants to take that very love that's in His heart and put it in ours. So we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love." And the divine love filling us then enables us to love God the way that we should and to love each other the way that we should. And we can draw upon that when we are weak in our ability to love and learn how to love out of the power of God's love because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Is that not totally awesome? The Holy Spirit is our source of power for spiritual gifts. Now, this sermon, I don't have enough time to go into all kinds of spiritual gifts and to examine that, but we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:4, and it says this: "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all." Now, He doesn't give us all the gifts, and He doesn't give us all the same kind of gifts, because that would be dysfunctional. The gifts, okay, the gifts are given to us so that we can perform the mission that Jesus has set for us to go and accomplish, right? That's the purpose of the gifts. So there has to be a power to be able to go and accomplish that mission when we hit obstacles and when there are things in our way and to just make it happen. There's got to be a power behind that. And the gifts are distributed to the body so that we can make that mission happen. And it's by faith that you believe that the Spirit is going to deliver those gifts to you and He's going to make them happen through it. When I step up here, I'm going to tell you, I don't know everything that I'm always necessarily going to say, but I'm telling and asking the Lord. I'm like, I need your help. I know that you've called me to step up here and speak, but I need you to give me the words to say. I need you to anoint my words so that you can hear them. And that is something I have to, by faith, trust in. So every gift, as it manifests, is also something that we're growing in the faith of God to learn how the Spirit wants to work through us. And Paul tells us that we can also seek after gifts. When we find one that we need and we haven't really seen it exhibited in our life, it's still okay to go to God and ask for Him to give it to us, but we have to want to see that power work through us. So it's very important, and that all is an element of the faith that we have in the Holy Spirit to provide that to us. The Holy Spirit is our source for power to make us like Jesus. It would really be okay to just, yeah, yeah. All right, thank you. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Praise God for that, right? Because sin wants us. This is a day of celebration, and I'm okay. Yeah, I mean, this is. I'm hoping you can see it in me tonight. I mean, sin takes us into a bondage, right? And it wants to put us in a place and entrap us. And God wants to set us free from that. And the reason that we rejoice in the idea of freedom is because God has made us to be people who are free. And when we are free, it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. I am free to follow God the way that he designed me to and wants to. And I want to do that out of the love that he puts in my heart for him. And just to see that God is not a God who wants to line you up and put you in shackles and something like that, but he wants to extend to us this liberty of living in him and knowing him, and then out of that relationship we have with him, experiencing all kinds of things that we can do through him. It is a truly wonderful thing, and the Spirit is the enabler for that. So all of us who have had the veil removed and can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See, one of the things, the way that God has made us, he has made us to be able to carry his glory. All right, now that is incredibly humbling because we're not really like him in that way. So his glory has to be extended to us. But the Spirit wants to prepare us to be able to carry his presence in a glorious way upon our lives. And again, God's not going to force himself on us in any way. He wants us to come to a place where we want to ask for that. And we start to realize, well, this is what that means when I'm asking for that to happen. And Lord, I want my life to be molded and shaped and adjusted, transformed, so that I can possess your glory upon my life. Because I know that you will then take it. It's not going to sit there in a box all, you know, packed up, hidden away. He's going to flow through us in some way that is even beyond what we can even imagine if we prepare ourselves and allow him to do that. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle to make us holy. I use the word vehicle because we're on a road trip, right? All right. I didn't know. The verse is Romans 15. I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. This is Paul speaking to Gentiles. That would be us, right? Because we're not Jews, so Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. See, God is the only one who is innately holy. There's nobody else is. So the thing is, other people and other things can be made holy when they are dedicated and associated with God himself. So the idea that the Holy Spirit can make us holy is he is the means or the vehicle by which we get reconnected with God, and the holiness of God can move over and be applied to our lives. This is a fantastic thing. Because how many of you walk around thinking about how terrible and short you fall before God's glory? Well, that's Satan wanting to tell you how worthless you are, okay? But God's sitting here going, wait, I created you for this wonderful purpose to be able to share in my holiness, to share in my glory. And I have provided a means and a way for you to be able to have access to that. And the Holy Spirit is the way that we get that, right? Now, this is an incredible thing because this is really what Pentecost is truly about. It's the gift of the Spirit. And all these things that we've mentioned today, they're not simple little things. They're a wondrous, miraculous, glorious things that God has prepared for us to enjoy and to experience in receiving the Holy Spirit.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.